Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the program Today's Issues here on the American Family Radio Network. Thank you for listening to AFR. Please tell your family and friends and about American Family Radio. One thing to consider is now with the app being available on smartphones or on your iPad or other similar device, you in the old days you would tell somebody about American Family Radio and they would say, I don't get it where I live because I don't have a tower near me. That doesn't stop us any longer, right, Walker?
That's right. The internet came along, and with the internet came the ability to stream American Family Radio audio into the homes and the phones, really, of everyone. So
the app, you need to do is download the app, and you can get AFR anywhere.
That's right.
You listen to us in the Ukraine, right?
I have listened in the Ukraine. I've listened in Uganda. I've listened in the Philippines in the middle of the night over there, and I've listened in South Korea. And I can tell you, folks, on the other side of the world, it sounds as if you're in the next room. That's how good it is. It's as good as any reception you get over your car radio or listening at home. The app is fabulous. Everybody needs to download it.
So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Even if you're somebody like Ray who's running from the law.
Always keep your feet moving. Never stay in the same place 2 days in a row.
Just get the app. Download the app. And if I say the word app and you start getting nervous because you don't know what I'm talking, you don't know how to do that because that intimidates you, just ask your tech-savvy grandkid or somebody you know who knows how to do this. Just say, can you download or show me how to download the American Family Radio app? It's very simple. Mm-hmm. Even a caveman could do it. I think that's been used.
I've heard that somewhere.
I think that's been used, Geico.
Yeah.
You're listening to American Family Radio. Steve Jordahl joins us this half hour every day. Good morning, Brother Steve.
Good morning, everybody.
How are you?
I'm well.
Hey, you have a guest.
I do. It's my pleasure to introduce to everybody a man that you've heard fairly often on our newscasts. His name is Randy Sutton. Randy is the founder and president of The Wounded Blue, and Randy, we can talk about what that is in a second, but you are a retired police officer, served in Las Vegas, but we wanted to have you on to talk about what's going on specifically in Kenosha, Wisconsin. There was a video that was out, Randy, showed an interaction and a shooting between a black man and a couple police officers. Wanted to ask you about the what's expected of the police there. But first of all, welcome, Randy. Good to have you.
It's always a pleasure to be on your show, Steve.
Thank you, Randy. How long did you serve? It was at Las Vegas Police Department?
I did a total of 34 years. I did 10 years as a police officer and detective in a small community in New Jersey, Princeton, New Jersey. And then I did that 24 years as a Las Vegas police officer, retiring as a field lieutenant.
I bet you have some stories.
Well, I do have 4 books out there, so I guess
well,
I do.
Okay, well, how do I find out about these? How do I read these books?
Amazon.com. Look up my name, Randy Sutton.
Randy Sutton, Sutton.
That's it.
Okay, Randy, I was talking to Steve this morning. We were talking in our show meeting preparing for the program. And I got to a question, he said, hey, Randy Sutton would be a great person to ask. So that's how this came about. All right, let me set this scenario up because this is the scenario that's been happening more and more and is going to happen more and more, regrettably, across the country. And here it is. In particular, young black males are going to be confronted by the police. When they're called, in this case in Kenosha, Wisconsin, they were called to a scene, domestic disturbance. The cops are called by somebody in that area and said, please come now. So the cops show up. So I don't know. The fella who was shot is in the hospital now. The African-American male, I guess he's in his 20s. Anyway, he resists the police. He He withstands a taser, which is amazing. And so he gets up. The cops are telling him to stay on the ground. Of course, they can't kneel on him anymore, I guess, because you know what happened with George Floyd. I don't know. But I'm just saying that it's getting more difficult for the police to be able to physically restrain somebody because the restraint's put on them by city officials who say don't do this because you might hurt the suspect. Now, when a suspect or a person that the police have told you do such and such, in other words, lay on the ground, put your hands above your head, put your hands behind your head, whatever the case may be, up against the car, and that person, this is what's going to happen more and more, says to the cops, go jump in a lake, man. And I'm using a cleaned up version, probably what's said to him. I don't have to do what you say. And then they walk, in this case, this fellow walks away from the cops, telling him what to do to stop, and then reaches in his car or either tries to get in his car. I don't know if he was going to drive off or reach for a gun or what he was doing, getting away from the police. This is my question. At that point, what is a police officer trained to do?
All right, so there's a lot to this story, a lot to this question. This is a very fluid situation in Kenosha. There's just information is dribbling out, and there's really they really are at the beginning of this investigation. And why that's an important topic is because yesterday, even before the smoke was clear, literally, the governor came out and said a very inflammatory comment about the police, quote, mercilessly killing black men, thereby fanning the flames, even before he has any knowledge of why the shooting took place. Okay, so now let's go back to your question about training. This situation, there was actually allegedly a weapon involved, a knife. And there are photographs that have just come out that appear to show the suspect in a still photo of having the knife in his hand as he's running away from the police. Now, he's running, and now he's trying to get into the car and reach under the seat. Well, why would someone do that? So where does the police training kick in? First of all, they also had knowledge, as they were en route to the scene, to this domestic, that an individual at the scene, it turned out to be this subject, was wanted for sexual assault. So he had a fugitive warrant out for him for rape, amongst other things. He had previously been arrested for resisting police with a deadly weapon. He'd pointed weapons at people before. Now, whether they were armed with that information about his past history, I don't know. But apparently they did know that he was a wanted sexual assault suspect. So they attempt to take him into custody. He does not comply. Now, the non-compliance is the common thread for every single one of these shootings. The police say you're under arrest. At that point, the individual has the option of submitting to that arrest, which is what the law says, or resisting. And when they do, the police aren't just going away. They attempted to take him into custody physically. He ran. They attempted to use a lower lethal type of force, which was the taser. Tasers are highly overrated when you think about their effectiveness, because they're a weapon that when the two prongs that are part of the deployment process hit people in the right areas, it's very effective. It will take you down, unless you happen to be all doped up. And then it doesn't work all the time. Or if you happen to be severely drunk, it doesn't happen. It doesn't work all the time. They are not flawless, believe me. And you have to hit somebody in the right areas. Sometimes one prong will hit, and then it's ineffective at all. But the fact of the matter is, they tried. They tried to use, they tried to de-escalate, if you will, by using a lower form of force. It didn't work. The individual was fighting. When you're trying to take somebody into custody and they don't want to go, it is never going to look good because, you know, the cops aren't going away. They're going to take you into custody one way or the other. And they have a police officer has a right and a duty to protect themselves from death or serious bodily injury. Now, if this subject was armed with a knife, because also apparently one of the officers yelled, knife, 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 prior to the shot being fired. That would indicate that he was armed. Police officer doesn't have to be stabbed or shot before they return fire. They have a right to defend themselves. They were in very close quarters with this individual who was resisting. And if that resistance led them to believe that he was reaching under the seat for something, what is a reasonable person going to surmise? That he's going for a weapon. So he was either armed with a weapon, the knife, or he was going for another weapon, possibly a gun, because he's been known to be armed before. So the officers are trained to protect themselves, and the officers made the decision to use deadly force. Will that decision eventually be shown to be proper? That's the only thing that can tell that is a full investigation. Mm-hmm. And so when the riots start before the smoke is cleared, this isn't about justice. This is about people wanting to riot. And that's the long and short of it.
Okay, Walker, go ahead.
Yeah, Randy, this is Walker here. I think one of the most frustrating, for me, one of the most frustrating parts of these situations is what you just said there, that very few people wait until there's enough information to consume to make a valid judgment on whether the officer was justified or not. And the folks who were burning the streets down there in Wisconsin, many of them probably don't even know what happened. They don't even know the full story because some of us who are studying this don't even know whether he had a firearm, a knife, both.
Well, he did have a knife.
Yeah, he had a knife, but whether there was a firearm under the seat. I mean, all of these things play a very important role in the justification or lack thereof. And we're not even waiting. I'm talking generally here. People aren't even waiting until that information comes out.
Exactly, and that's what we're seeing happen all over the country.
So, even the governor.
The governor mercilessly killed by the police. I mean, what an incredibly, what a horrendous statement to make in his own ignorance, because he knows what's going on.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But yet, he'll come out and he'll stoke the fire.
I tell you what, this is Steve, and we're talking to Randy Sutton. Randy, what's your organization again?
I am the founder and national director of the Wounded Blue, the national assistance and support organization for injured and disabled law enforcement officers. And I can tell you this, that in this rioting, we are seeing our cops getting injured and disabled literally every single day.
Hmm. So my point, my question, and it's which is that at that point where a individual resists arrest and starts to run away, or in this case, go to his car, who knows what he was grabbing. It really doesn't matter whether he's grabbing a gun or a water gun. It really doesn't matter because you're grabbing at something when the right. cop doesn't. He didn't know at the time to say, well, I'm going to wait and see what he has here. You know,
too late.
The cop's dead. So, but you're saying, Randy, that the training that police officers undergo is at the juncture, if it's like it's seen on the video, where the guy is reaching into his car when he's already been wrestling with the cops, then the cop has a right to shoot the guy?
A police officer has a right to shoot someone if they are in legitimate fear of death or serious bodily injury.
Well, I would have been if I were that police officer. You'd just been fighting with a guy who, by the way, had a warrant out for his arrest, and he was resisting arrest.
For rape. For sexual assault. Right.
Yeah.
Right. So, we're not talking about a Boy Scout here.
But you know what happened? Exactly. He had a long rap sheet. But you know what happened? What's going on here? And then we'll let you go, Randy. But is like Donna Brazile last night on the Fox News channel. She's a Democrat consultant or a Democrat person,
operative.
She says, well, look what happened in Kenosha. This black man was shot point blank 7 times. That's what's going on in America. LeBron James, the superstar NBA player, says, you see what happened in Kenosha, Wisconsin, and you wonder why we talk about the police. So the narrative for those on the left is that the police, if the police ever shoot a black man, they are at fault.
Yes.
And I don't know how you deal with it. The only alternative is for the police to say, we're not going to confront any black males. Right?
Well, that's the end game.
Which puts more lives at risk. Which puts innocent citizens at risk.
But it was black folks who called the cops to the place last night, or two nights ago.
On the domestic violence dispute.
Yeah. So the other alternative, why do you think that's the end game? Randy?
Because remember, what is the aim of Black Lives Matter, the organization? What is the ultimate goal? The ultimate goal is defunding, dismantling the criminal justice system, including abolishing the police and the prison system. That's their stated goal. I didn't make that up. That's what they're.
Well, then you create absolute chaos in this land.
Yeah.
Right. Well, that's the goal. Is to remake the criminal justice system in their eyes, which of course is so ludicrous and lunatic, it defies logic. But everything seems to defy logic.
Yeah, and the left wing,
decisions made.
Yeah, the left wing politicians are pandering too. This governor is just pandering. He said, I think I'll be a pander bear.
Yeah,
you know, right away.
Yeah.
Steve, thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Randy.
God bless you.
Well, you're welcome, Tim.
I'm sorry. Excuse me, Randy. My apologies. Thank you, Randy.
Okay. You got it.
Okay. Hey, great guest, Steve. Thank you for getting him on.
You betcha.
That was great.
I can't recommend thewoundedblue.org enough if you're interested in supporting police with more than just your prayers.
Ray, your thoughts on that?
Well, he was fantastic.
Yeah.
And you know, there's a difference between somebody who talks in theory versus somebody like Randy Sutton, who's been there on the streets, in the danger zone. He knows exactly what he's talking about. And when you hear him make that case, any of us who were police officers in Kenosha would have done exactly what those officers did when that man had survived the tasing, had continued to resist, ran to his car, and was reaching under the seat. What do people expect the cops to do? You resist arrest, you go to that extent, you're going to get shot. You hate to say that, but that's going to happen.
Yeah,
and but you see what happened in Atlanta? Basically the same scenario, and the guy was charged with murder. So
yeah, he hasn't been convicted, but he was charged by
this guy will be probably charged with murder.
I wouldn't be so confident. You're talking about the Wendy's parking lot altercation with Rashad Brooks?
I'm talking about that, and I'm talking about is similar in.
Are you saying this guy in Kenosha?
The guy in Kenosha is in stable condition. He's paralyzed from the waist down.
Well, that's true.
Permanently.
He didn't die. So, yeah. I don't know, but when the governor of the state's throwing you under the bus.
Right. He was pretty quick, too, wasn't he?
Within hours. I guess. I go back to this. I know this is a running theme with me, but I just find it hard to believe that a majority of citizens in Wisconsin agree with the governor on something like this, even though they voted this man to lead their state. Now, that they didn't know this prior to voting for him, obviously, but it just makes me wonder, Ray, do a majority of people in Wisconsin agree that the cops are mercifully, unmercifully killing killing black guys? I mean,
I hope not. I certainly hope not.
But I mean,
don't you think this is going to have, don't you think part of the answer to your question is going to show up on November the 3rd?
Yeah.
This is going to be one of the big issues in that state in the election.
Yeah, and what's also being forgotten or overlooked or ignored is that we have a very good justice system in America where if it did happen or did occur where the officer was unjustified in his use of force, then our justice system, including a grand jury, will apply the law and people will be held accountable. But we're not even waiting on the justice system to play itself out.
But Steve.
Sir.
The power of the Black Lives Matter movement is to use their influence to do what Randy said, Randy Sutton. That's sure. The scary part of it. This is why people need to understand the Black Lives Matter movement is not about the sentiment, as we've said before, which we all can agree with. Black lives do matter. In the eyes of God, all lives matter.
That's right.
That's when we talk about the unborn. But Black Lives Matter, the organization, is anti-American. All right? Is Marxist by their own admission. So their goal, when you support Black Lives Matter, the organization, like they've gotten over $1 billion of contributions from corporate America, they're going to use that money to undermine police and law enforcement and our criminal justice system. They don't believe that any black fella who is shot by the police could ever be in the wrong. That's their default position.
Right.
So if you have that and the police are always wrong, the police are pigs, like Colin Kaepernick calls them.
Yeah.
The NFL is apologizing to Colin Kaepernick, saying now we all need to kneel. This is what I'm saying. I think maybe we're underestimating, maybe you guys aren't, underestimating the power of the Black Lives Matter movement and their influence on our culture. There may be a majority of Americans who say, you know, it is wrong for the cops to kill a black man anytime.
Well, that seems to be their premise.
That is the Black Lives Matter. Ray, you know what I'm talking about here?
Yeah.
Am I way off base?
No, you're okay. Not. No, I mean, Randy Sutton said it. They want to dismantle the police departments of America. The police, the troopers, the sheriffs. They want to abolish the line of protection that separates normal society from the predators.
From being the animal kingdom.
Right.
Huh?
I think there are levels of engagement with this. You ask about what percentage of Americans think that the systemic racism within the police department. It depends on who you ask, but there are people like you and I who daily sit and look at the news and follow this closely, and Walker that even takes maybe a deeper dive into some of this stuff and really gets informed and starts looking at the statistics, and we can take a reasoned, measured take on this, but the vast majority of Americans sit down and get 10 minutes at the most of news a day and really don't know what's going on, and their opinion is formed by narrative.
Yeah.
Well, Joe Biden, the Democrat presidential candidate, he blamed what happened in Wisconsin on systemic racism. Am I right?
You are?
Yes.
Okay, well, there you go. He doesn't even wait 24 hours to find out what happened.
Right.
It's exploiting the situation to try to pander, to try to get more black folks energized to vote for him.
Basically,
so he says, and it's a total injustice to the system, and right. So unfair to these police officers.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Steve.
My pleasure.
Thanks to Ray, Walker, Brent, and Fred. Have a good day, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow.